In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beelzebul, or Beelzebub, it's got to be one of the most alien-sounding words in Scripture. It's a Hebrew word, to begin with. It could be Lord of the Flies, as in that is that which surrounds death and decay. It could be Lord of Dung. And most likely it means Prince Baal, Lord Baal. Baal was the male fertility god of the people of Canaan before the Israelites came. This is after wandering in the desert for 40 years. They came into this promised land, and the Lord said to drive out the unbelievers, those who had rejected God and were acting in ways that were like those before the flood, only evil in their thoughts. They were supposed to drive them out, but the Israelites didn't. They didn't trust the Lord. The Israelites allowed some of the Baal worshippers to continue preaching and teaching. They even married these unbelievers so that Baal worship ended up dividing the Israelites. Baal divided the people of God. This is Satan's work. So Beelzebul became one of the names of Satan, of the devil. From this, we can learn a few things. First, that Satan isn't weak. He's not a kitten with sharp claws that those little wounds heal quickly. He isn't only a scapegoat for evil men and women to say, the devil made me do it. He is real indeed and true. He divides us from God and from his good word and promises. He cuts individuals out of the flock so he can deal with them by himself. Just like a predator. Predator, right? That's what any predator does. They take the weak, they cut them out. So the Satan, Beelzebul, hates unity in the Word of God. He hates the institutions which the Lord has set up to guard and bless us. Satan isn't weak, but his rule, his reign, he doesn't last either. Jesus is still stronger. The battle for the trust of your heart isn't between equals. Satan is still a creature, one of the fallen angels. Jesus is still the creator. How much power can Satan really have over that which is beyond his understanding, beyond his power to even approach? Satan has no power to create, only to disfigure. He can only take that which is good and distort it, and try and twist it. So he's known as the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. The deceptions, lies, half-truths are his best and most powerful weapon. But Jesus is still stronger. Jesus is never withholding good things from you just to see you squirm. Our Lord never lies nor deceives. He doesn't even trick Satan. He doesn't have to. The struggle that we have with the teachings of Scripture come from us and not from him. For we just can't get it into our heads and into our hearts that he is truly and actually good in every way. That he is honest and fair in every way. That he never lies by commission, by saying a lie, or by not revealing it, by omission. The struggle we have is that he's actually revealed in Holy Scripture all we need to hear from him. All that we need is laid before our eyes, our ears, and our heart. Jesus can afford to be merciful. He can take his time. He can be patient. He rules over things, all things, over your heart and mind. But Satan can't afford to be merciful. He must cling to you like a fish hook in your skin. He must repeatedly attack you because he knows his only weapon is lies. To keep you trusting in his lies and keep you from trusting the truth as long as possible. If possible, until the very end. Satan gives no mercy, but takes everything from you under the guise of giving you the world, just like Jesus' temptation. Like how Satan tempted Jesus. It's the kind of sacrifice that goes, well, get the promotion, but lose your family. You may get power, you may get things in the world, but you lose the things that are most important. This is why Jesus is stronger. He's stronger because he is merciful. He is patient and kind, slow to anger. This is why then that the Lord God of Scripture is described as a jealous God. He can't abide you trusting anything else above him. He's jealous for your fear, love, and trust. Because nothing and nobody else can provide for your life in body and soul. Nothing else can deliver you from sin and from death. He's jealous for your trust because he is your only refuge, your only hope, your only salvation. Nothing else lasts. So that you are either trusting him or trusting something else above him. No one is neutral. Because our Lord has revealed the nature of Satan as a liar and deceiver, that means we know his strategy. We know where he's going to attack and even how. His plans aren't really surprising. He attacks the truth. He attacks the institutions and teachings of our Lord. He attacks the person of God. Who is this Jesus that you trust? Isn't he just a guy? Satan attacks God's reputation. How can God allow evil? And Satan attacks God's word. It's one of the most effective works of the 19th and 20th centuries was to attack the historicity and the God-inspired nature of Scripture. Attack the book, you attack the author. Other institutions have been and are being bombarded by half-truths, distortions, redefinitions, and bald-faced lies. The authority of mothers and fathers, and so the authority of the government, has been undermined. The nature and purpose of family, the sanctity of life from womb to tomb. The institution of marriage is hardly recognizable in the United States. Possessions, reputation, and contentment are twisted into rights rather than gifts, things to be sought after for their own ends. My friends, this is always the way of Satan. This is not new. We actually have a kind of a name for this, the way our enemy is working. It's called critical theory. Have you heard that before? It's hard to nail down, so the definition is going to be pretty broad. Critical theory seeks a new beginning for mankind by criticizing nearly every institution that has been handed down to us. Every institution. The good and the bad together. The idea goes that if you criticize every assumption and institution we have, then a new age of sorts can begin. Scorched earth policy, really. What's interesting is it's not really clear what's supposed to come next. what that's supposed to look like. They just want to criticize it to death. And the criticism doesn't have to be reasonable. It doesn't have to be planned. It doesn't even have to be fair. Just criticize until the supporter of, let's say, one man, one woman marriage is drowned out by outrage. Then re-educate and enlist them into the outrage that feels so good. Who doesn't like to be righteous and indignant? But the consequences of this is division at a level that we have not experienced. Division of hearts and minds, so that we are divided into little worlds among ourselves. Community seems to be an illusion in this day and age, because it's the individual that is king. Divide and conquer. Separate them out. Sounds familiar, right? Nothing is new under the sun. It's what Satan and evil men did to the kingdom of Israel. It's what happened with Adam and Eve. Divide by conflicting trusts and set people against each other. This isn't new. This is always the way he works. I'm pretty sure he loves social media like nothing else. But remember, Jesus is still stronger. The truth doesn't stop being the truth just because the lies are louder. Jesus is still the crucified one who rose on the third day, never to die again. That's an historical fact. You hear at the end of the gospel reading today that Jesus, how Jesus, he kind of gently redirects the woman's praise of his mother to what is truly needful. He says, "Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it." Now that English word keeping kind of sounds like obedience. Ironically, a type of slavery. But the word that it's translating is more like guarding or treasuring. Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and guards it, makes it his own, possesses it, considers it most precious. Don't let the word of God, the word of truth, escape from your thoughts and from your heart. Keep it at hand, literally, and inhabit. What does God say about himself, his reputation, his word, about authority, life, marriage, and more? What does he say about the cause of evil? What does he say is the purpose of family? What is a family? And most importantly, who does he say that you are? Jesus is still stronger than Beelzebul. He always will be. He will never abandon you to the outrage. You have a hope that cannot be put to shame, a name above all names, a ground of faith that this wild and terrified culture yearns for, but can only seek to destroy. You aren't divided, for you are in Christ. And he is one and whole in flesh and blood. He has ascended to the authority to the right hand of God, reigning over heaven and earth. You are baptized into him. His name is your name. His strength is yours. Don't be afraid. Don't give up hope. Treasure the truth of Scripture that Jesus will always be stronger. In his name, amen.